Well, 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 good morning, church. Woo! Man, we serve an incredible God, don't we? Man, there's two of you. Good, excellent. Man, we serve an incredible God, don't we? Unbelievable. Hey, it's so good to be with you guys here at the Gathering of the Saints in Regularity. And I just want to tell you how grateful I am that you are here. How thankful I am that you showed up today, because I need you to be here. I need you to be with me, and you need me to be here, and you need me to be with you. And you need the person sitting three rows behind you to the left and four rows in front of you to the right. And they need you. This is the story of Scripture, that we gather up in part because we need each other. And when you choose to show up, you show up in part for me, and I show up in part for you, so that Jesus can show up for you and me through each other. So I want to tell you that the fact that you showed up today is a big deal, because we need you here. And I am grateful that you are here. This is the story that we are currently exploring, this incredible reality that God said in His Word, that we are part of something that He has called the church. Now, this is a word we use in our everyday like it's a little thing, a nothing. We say, I'm going to church this week, or I'm part of this church, or which church do you go to? And because it is a word that is utilized in our ordinary everyday language, we can often forget the extraordinary, wondrous nature of this thing called the church. That it is not simply a gathering of people in a building to do religious things. It is a powerful, supernatural, extraordinary thing that God has made with great purpose and intent, that He is using, has used, and will use to do extraordinary things. And you and I are part of this thing. As we began our journey a couple of weeks ago, we became aware, or were reminded again, of what we are a part of, that this thing called the church is a force of light and life and freedom moving from the kingdom of God as the kingdom of God into the darkness. We are part of a force that the scripture says the gates of darkness, the gates of hell will not prevail against. Where there is ground that darkness holds in the lives of people, in the lives of cities, in the lives of countries, in the lives of anything, anywhere, it will not prevail when the church carrying the kingdom of God moves forth. We are part of that force. That's insane. And we are not just part of a force that the darkness will not reckon with. We are part of a cosmic sermon that God is preaching every day to the world and to the cosmos and to the powers in high places in both the world of God and the world of darkness. No one gets to be outside of God's great cosmic preaching through the very nature of who we are. We are preaching a cosmic sermon on behalf of God by showing up and being part of this thing called the church. And more than that, we are part of a family. That this thing called the church is not just a gathering of other people that we are supposed to get along with. We have become a family, which means when we became followers of Jesus, I belong to you now. You belong to me now, like brothers and sisters belong to each other, and we belong to our Father, and our Father belongs to us. There is a belonging that is extraordinary, and our journey with the church should be an ongoing, unfolding experience of the closeness of that belonging as we learn, like any family does, to get along and to love each other well in the midst of the wonder and the beauty, the brutality and the crazy, right? You're part of a family. This is incredible. And we are called the temple of God, which throughout history in forms of tents and buildings and structures was always the space on planet Earth where God said, my tangible presence resides in the temple. I am everywhere, but you tangibly experience a uniqueness of my presence in the temple. And God has said, this thing I call the church is now the temple in which I reside. So that means where we are, there God is uniquely. God is tangibly in a unique way. You are part of that. I am part of that. That's crazy. And as though that's not enough. I mean, he can just stop there and go, done, and you go, done. He goes, oh, no. It's better than you thought. Not only is all of that true, but you are also my bride, the love of my life. And I am making you to be a people who love me so that I will become the love of your life. We are part of a relationship where we will be loved like we have never been loved, and where we will learn to love like we have never loved. Welcome to the church. And then you're like, whoa, that's it, I'm done. No, he's not. We are also then called his body. The very essence of where he resides and expresses himself externally. When he was on planet Earth in bodily form, you would go and meet Jesus somewhere and it would be a profound experience. There he is, oh my gosh. He shook my hand, oh my gosh. He gave me a hug, oh my gosh. I heard him speak. And now he says, that same reality now exists wherever my church goes. Where you show up, he shows up. Where you love, he loves. Where you care, he cares. Where you heal, he heals. Where you anything that is part of the kingdom, he does that too. We are his body. That is what we get to be part of. And the crazy part of this is that all of us in this place, if we follow Jesus and we are part of then we are part of the church. And when we are part of the church, we are part of that. What I love about what God does is he says, okay, that would be enough, would it not be? But it does feel giant, doesn't it? It feels almost untouchable, unreachable. We're part of a cosmic sermon, a force that darkness can't reckon with, a temple, a family that's global and generational. Wow, I'm part of this body that is giant, and I'm part of the bride of Christ, this extraordinary thing. That's wonderful, but it just feels out of reach in some ways. And God goes, I'm not done. The way I'm going to do this is I'm going to take that giant cosmic reality and I'm going to cause it to have local tangible expressions where people gather up in small pockets around the globe. And in these small pockets, you are now part of the tangible local expression of a global reality that you're part of, a cosmic reality that you're part of. And in this global expression, tangible things will happen that will then be part of the cosmic sermon. You will love each other. You will be together. You will unify. You will share and work together for each other and for your city and for the world. And you will do it in this little local space. And when you do, because you show up, because you serve, because you give, because you live on mission, because you pray, I will transform lives by the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, the millions. We found out last week again, or were reminded, that because we here in this local expression called Mosaic, because we gather up and show up, because we serve, we give, we pray, and we go, literally every week, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives are being transformed through encounters with Jesus because we showed up, because we are part of this story. That's crazy. Not like over a lifetime, thousands, every week. And some of those people are right here in this room, meaning us, because you showed up. And you decided to participate in singing and participate in conversations in the lobby and participate. We are the recipients of being stirred up and spurred on by you. And so we are part of that transformation. That's crazy that you and I are part of this unbelievable thing that is the cosmic church. But we're part of it in a tangible, local way so that we can feel that beautiful participation right here with each other. And then God does something crazy. That would be enough, would it not? Would it not be enough just to know I'm part of this? And I know what this is doing and I'm part of it and that's awesome. But God goes, no, you don't understand. This drills right down to you and to me individually. He cares about us, but he cares about us by taking you and making you uniquely for us and me uniquely for you. And he says this, not only is Mosaic, this local expression of the global church or any other local expression of the global church, a small piece of a giant thing, a small part of my global generational body, but each and every one of you is a small piece of the body that is cosmic and global and of the body that is right here in local. The scripture describes us as parts of the body and says, when any one part of the body shows up and functions as it should, the whole body benefits. But when any one part of the body doesn't show up when it should, doesn't function as it should, that causes disruption for how much of the body?
All of it.
12 of you got that right. For how much of the body? All of it. All of it. You know this. This is logical. When you wake up in the morning, the parts of your body that don't show up is not helpful, is it? Like when you wake up in the morning and your arm is falling asleep because you laid on it and you get up and reach for that alarm clock to push and it's like a, oh my God. And you're like, wake up. I need you to do something that I'm not going to call my left arm into because you're on the right-hand side. That's small. But when parts of your body stop working in bigger ways, how disruptive is that to you? How hard is that to you? And then when parts of your body decide to cause pain, that's a whole nother ball game. Have you ever woken up with lower back pain or you're stiff because your legs are tight because you had to do yard work or climb ladders or help someone? You have a headache because, and suddenly how does that feel? It doesn't just feel like one little part and you can discard that. It affects the whole. And so God says, you have to understand that I designed this so that every single one of you that belong to the church matter to the church. If you don't show up, a part of the body didn't show up. If you don't engage, a part of the body didn't engage. If you cause pain, a part of the body causes pain. And we are not a people that want to do that. We want to be a people that are part of something big. So that means that what God is saying is that you matter to this local expression. And together we matter to the global expression. And the global expression is all those things we're part of. This is how it is designed. So the question then that comes to bear is this. Okay. So how do I, Renaud, how do you engage in this local story in such a way that you are playing the part that you are called to play as part of the body, showing up in a way that is now helpful to the experience of the whole so that God can make himself known through a functional body. You understand what I'm saying? When God wakes up in us in the morning, us collectively, the global cosmic church, and he's going to make himself known, how are you showing up as whatever part of the body you are? What does that look like? And as we study scripture, we begin to discover what that looks like and how that plays out. But before we begin to discover the practicalities of how that plays out, God, as he always does, gives us a picture into what it means that we are even part of this and how we are the benefactors of being part of the body in ways we have no business being benefactors of. We have discovered, as we have traveled through scripture here at Mosaic, that one of the great and wondrous truths of the gospel, this redemptive work of Jesus on our behalf and his life, death, and resurrection to set us free, make us alive, and give us a hope and a future by taking on our sin as his own and giving us his righteousness as our own and setting us free from death, darkness, and bondage. That redemptive work, that we are not only recipients of that redemptive work. Would it be enough if we were just recipients of being made alive, giving a hope and a future and an inheritance forever and knowing Jesus and being free? Would it be enough if he just did that for you and I? Yeah. 12 of you again. That's good. The rest of you are like, I'm not sure. Would that be enough? Would it be enough?
Yeah.
Would it be enough for you that he saved you and made you alive and gave you hope and a future? If he did nothing else for you and he's like, don't get involved, I've done this, I'd be thrilled. But he's like, oh, I'm not done. Not only are you recipients of the gospel, recipients of redemption, but I am actually going to make room to invite you into the redemptive story so that you are participants in my grace, my mercy, my redemptive work, so that you now are a church, a people that aren't just the recipients of something, but the participants in it, so that when redemption happens, you got to be part of making it happen. You understand that you have no business doing that, nor do I. I've told God on many occasions, I am a liability, FYI, like a three-year-old is when I'm trying to get something done. I am a liability. I make things harder. And he goes, I know. And yet, it is my great pleasure and joy to give you space to participate in something supernatural and powerful that the church brings light, life, and freedom. We are participants in the gospel. We have learned that here. Paul, in a letter that he's writing to some friends of his in a city called Philippi, introduces a concept to us, a truth to us, a reality to us that expands for us the beauty of what God allows us to be part of when we participate in the life of the church as an individual and then as the collective local church participate in the life of the global church. He shows us something in this letter that's profound. This letter at first, when you read it in its introduction, seems like nothing but a letter and would have been just that. Just a nice letter to a people group with gratitude for a gift that they sent to Paul in the form of a person carrying resources to Paul so that the person can encourage him and the resources can enable him to do some things in his ministry. And he's writing a letter to tell them, super grateful for your participation in this. But when God chose to make this letter scripture in his sovereignty, it moved from being simply a thank you letter with some encouragement to a profound note of giving us truths and clarities that we can now understand are principles of God. That's what scripture does. It takes an ordinary paragraph and turns it into the profound nature of how we are to understand what God is up to. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes these words to the Philippians. And by the way, before I read the words, sorry. You remember where Philippi is and how this all played out. Paul, on his second missionary journey or second church planting journey, he went from Antioch through the region of Galatia, headed north to go through Bithynia. God closed the doors to go to Bithynia, so he headed south to go into Asia Minor. God closed the doors to go to Asia Minor, so he headed west, crossed the Aegean Sea, headed into Macedonia, and traveled the coastline of Macedonia, and he encountered some cities there and planted churches. First city he encounters as he crosses the sea, the Aegean Sea into Macedonia, is Philippi. He plants a church there. Then he goes from there to Thessalonica, Thessalonica to Berea, Berea to Athens, Athens to Corinth, and he plants churches down that run. Philippi was first and foremost the recipient of Paul showing up and planting a church. They are the recipient of the gospel. Now he's writing back to them as recipients of the gospel through Paul's story, and he's thanking them for what they are now participants in with Paul through their story toward Paul. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, I thank God and pray with joy. How often when Paul thinks about the Philippians is he totally overwhelmed with gratitude?
Always.
And when he prays for them, how often is he praying for them with great joy and gratitude?
Always.
This is profound. Can you think of any human you feel that way about? Can you? Whenever I think of them, period, end of story, no exceptions, I am full of gratitude. And when I pray for them, I'm always full of joy. I mean, I don't think about that way about my kids, my wife, my best friend, the closest people I know, because sometimes I don't feel that way. And sometimes I do. And Paul here in the Bible says,
what you have done, the way you have participated, has been such that any time, every time, all the time that you come to mind, what stirs in me is gratitude. Let me just say this. When we are the church we are called to be for each other, we will eventually end up in a place where what we produce for each other is a great amount of gratitude toward Jesus for each other. When you and I are who we are called to be together, you will be grateful for me, I for you, and we will say in time, when I think of you all, I think with great gratitude. Isn't that awesome? When we participate with God, with each other, this is what is produced. Now look at what he says. I think this way because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So there it is again. It's all over scripture. We are not just recipients of the gospel, but participants in it. And Paul here says, when you participate in a number of ways, then you are a partner in the gospel with me. What you are doing with me and for me allows you to not just be a partner with Jesus for me, but now allows you to be a partner with me in whatever I'm endeavoring. This is one of the great principles of scripture that is fascinating and profound, that when you and I do something together, I helping you do it, whatever you do, I'm part of, even though I'm not doing it. What kind of a God lets that happen? What kind of a God says your participation isn't just toward the very single person you're participating in, but when you participate toward one, you get to participate in anything that one will participate in. When you are here and you worship and you stir me up and you have a conversation with me that encourages me, then this week, whatever I'm doing on mission, you're part of. How crazy is that? You don't even know the stuff you're part of this week if you just showed up here and participated. And then, as though that's not enough, because it's enough. It's more than enough. This is what he says. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. While we are participating with God on mission, what is God constantly doing for us? Finishing the work he began. So we are always recipients of the gospel, constantly and always given the opportunity to be participants in the gospel. When you or I choose not to participate in the gospel, does God stop participating in his grace toward us?
No.
Nope. He says, look, I'm confident of this, that whatever you do, he who is faithful and started a work in you will finish it. You and I are first and foremost recipients of his grace. And out of that work he's doing, we then are invited by him to be participants in his grace by giving ourselves to his work. And then he says this, take a look at this. This is where it gets crazy. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you because I hold you in my heart. Great, fantastic. For you, listen carefully now, because this is insane. For you are all partakers with me of grace. Big change here from what we know. Would it be enough that we're recipients of the gospel alone, not participants? That God just gives us his grace and he says, I don't need you to help me because you're a liability. Stay out of it. I'll see you in heaven. Yes, that'd be enough. But then he allows us to participate like a bunch of little three-year-olds that he's inviting to help him do what he's doing so that he can go, you're so strong, and we can go, thank you. You've been there, right? When you got a three-year-old carrying a heavy box with you and you're carrying the box and they got their hands on the box and you leave just enough weight so they're a bit overwhelmed but not nearly enough to crush them because this box would kill them, and then you carry it with them and they're like fumbling and you're like, you got this, you're so good. And then you put the box down and then you look at them and you say, I just want you to know you did squat. You didn't carry this box, I carried this box. I just let you put your hands on it. You think you carried this box? You're useless. Is that what you do with your three-year-old? No, what do you do with your three-year-old? Good job, high five, you're so strong, unbelievable. I can't believe you managed to carry that box all the way. And that three-year-old goes to their little three-year-old friends and goes, see that box? See that box? I carried that box. And it's true, they did. This is God's story for us, right? You are the recipient of my grace. Now come carry this redemption with me and let's do this together. And when we do it, he's like, oh, you're so good. You're so strong. And then he says this. Here's what he says. You are partakers with me of grace. Now we know already, are we partakers of grace because we are recipients of the gospel? So we're partakers with Paul in being recipients of the gospel, right? But look what he says here. That's not what he's talking about here as the primary. He says, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Listen to me now. This is perhaps one of the most profound things God does for us in our choice to participate in his story as the church, as individuals with each other, part of a cosmic story. He says this, not only will I make you recipients of my redemption, not only will I let you participate in the work of my redemption, but when the work of participating in redemption bears fruit, you will get to be a partaker of that fruit. This makes no sense. Who should get all the glory? God and God alone. Who should partake alone in the fruit of this labor? God and God alone. Whose fruit does this belong to? God, did you produce the fruit? No, did I produce the fruit? No, it says it in the Bible. Any fruit you and I have produced is the fruit of Jesus producing it through us because we are attached to the vine. So we already know you don't even produce fruit. And here's what Paul says. When you participated with me in this endeavor, the fruit of my imprisonment and the fruit of making the gospel known to the guards because of my imprisonment is now fruit you get to partake in. It becomes part of the fruit of your labor. And they should say, we didn't labor. We're not in prison. We're not preaching the gospel to the guard. We're not going to lose our life for the sake of Jesus as you are. That is your work, and it should be at least God and your fruit, really just God's, but God and yours. And our labor is gifting you a person to encourage you and gifting you resources to do your labor for your fruit. So we get the fruit of your encouragement, and you get the fruit of preaching the gospel. And Paul says that's not how God does it. Designed it. God designed it this way, that anytime I labor for you, I get the fruit of that, and then anything you labor in, I get the fruit of that, and then become a partaker in that. And then when I come to Jesus and I'm like, it's all yours, he goes, I know, well done. You were such a great helper, it's partly yours. The opportunity for you and I to partake in an extraordinary, unimaginable amount of redemptive fruit sits before us. And anytime we participate in this thing locally and in this thing cosmically, we are sharing and participating and partakers of more fruit than you can begin to wrap your head around. Eternal fruit of God. So how then do you and I do this? Right here, practically, how does it play out? The scripture turns out is super clear on this too. Isn't that awesome? Every time we're like, how do you do it? God goes, already told you, already showed you. Here's how it works. It's really quite simple. There's a million ways in which we can participate, but there's a couple of big principles that God says, be involved in these ways in your local expression, and then you are part of that expression, and then local expression, you will have all that you need to be part of the cosmic expression. First and foremost, show up. Show up. You're like, what? What? Show up. Come and gather. Be here. Be here in the weekend gatherings that are regular. Be in a community group if you can. Be a part of the things that this place does when people gather. You don't have to be at everything, but make this reality a central part of the rhythms of your week and month and year. Be here. And you might say, that sounds ridiculous. I mean, here I am, I come. You would think that that is ridiculous, but it's much harder than you think these days, isn't it? Because we have, in our cultural context, the technological advances to be able to create ease for not showing up. So we have this thing, for example, called live stream, where you can watch all of this anytime you want on a Sunday morning, right? And we have podcasts that you can actually catch at any time during the week that you want. So what that produces is, it produces the reality that showing up becomes harder than it used to be. It used to be the only way you could be part of anything is showing up. Now you don't have to. Now, why did we create that? We created that because there are people that are part of our local expression that cannot show up because of physical challenges that they have. And man, by coming online, they are showing up. You are showing up. Thank you. Because they can't be here, so they choose to be here there. Isn't that awesome? And there are people that are traveling this very weekend, and they'd love to be here, but they can't be here. And so guess what? The way they're showing up with us is saying, despite a travel schedule, I'm going to pause on my Sunday morning, and I'm going to join my church and show up. And in 2 or 3 weeks, when they're done traveling, where are they going to be?
Here.
Right here, showing up here. If you are online and you are utilizing online when you cannot show up here, that is how you show up. But if you are online, when you can just as easily show up here, but it's more convenient to be online, you are not showing up. You're not showing up. You're like, what? You're not showing up. Here's why. Because I need you here to hear your voice singing to God these incredible songs when my week has eroded my faith to the point that I'm not sure I want to sing. And when I stand in this room and I see your hands up and I see your zeal and I see your passion, I don't even know your story, I am stirred up to say, that's right, that's my king. I can borrow your faith today. I need you here for that. I need you to have a conversation in the lobby with me when I am having a great day and I need someone to celebrate with me, or a hard day and I need someone to care for me. I need your hug and I need your wave and I need your face. And when you are at home, because it's easier to be there than here, then the part of the body that God made you to be that day for me didn't show up. And when it didn't show up, I get to pay the price. You get to pay the price for that. If you're not showing up here because it's a day you can't, then praise God, show up somewhere else. But if you're not showing up here because it's more convenient not to, then the first way that God says be part of this is, do not neglect gathering up as some are in the habit of doing, but show up. And when you show up, bring yourself. Don't just show up here to grab a donut, a coffee, sit here for 10 seconds, listen real fast and roll on out. Wave at someone in the parking lot. Put a smile on your face. Have a conversation. And when you're worshiping, stand up and give yourself to that, because somebody needs that from you. And if today is a day you're like, I don't want to worship, I'm mad at God, then participate by looking around and saying, God, use these other awesome, zealous people to get this on out of me and get me turned back to you. Participate in the showing up by being part of just the things we do. Then second, God says, once you show up and you're just doing what we do, well done, you are now the recipient of whatever fruit is directly born out of this place. That's what you're the recipient of. By me going home and feeling encouraged and stirred up, if you were here and you were participating in any way, you were part of that. Thank you. Thank you for helping me be stirred up. But if you really want to be a participant in even more significant fruit, then when you show up in time, start finding out how to share and how to serve with what you have. Whatever it is you have, whatever it is you have, start asking God, how can I take what I have and begin to share it with this place, with these people, and serve? Start serving in some way. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a ton, but serve in some way. Profoundly, as we enter that space of saying, God, I want to take what I have and I want to share it with this place and serve, God will begin a journey with you to reveal to you that he has not only given you some gifts, some talents, some resources in terms of what your experience, but he's also promised that every one of you, listen to this, this is crazy in scripture, every single one of you that follow Jesus has been given a spiritual gift for this place. What? And when that is not in play, this body is limited. Most of you don't even know you have a spiritual gift or don't even know what it is. I know. We got some work to do, don't we? We got to figure out what we have and start bringing it. And then in that process and community, we've got to start discovering what God has given us profoundly and start bringing that. When we show up and we serve, the fruit expands and we are partakers in more fruit than we can imagine. We were thinking about stories that demonstrate somebody just starting to show up. And then in their showing up, in their experience in this place, with their limitations, it created empathy in them for other people like them that have that experience. And that then caused them to say, I wonder if this place can help. And they sort of came to this, why not we just help? And then they started helping. And then God was stirring in us some things and those all came together. And now God is doing a profound work here because two people showed up here despite how hard it was, became empathetic, engaged with whatever they had, started serving, and the world is shifting and changing because of them. We had a number of stories like this, so we just picked one. This is the one we picked, a great example of what I mean when I say, show up and just start serving with what you have, and let's see what God does. Take a look at this.
It was the funniest thing. After the 11:17, you'd see like this group of people in the lobby just rehashing and talking through what we walked through during the sermon at the 11:17. And it was just amazing to see, like, there's a group of Portuguese speaking people that are hungry to be a part of a gospel-centered biblical community. And so we thought, okay, what can we do to come around that?
So I just started learning English when we arrived here 4 years ago. And the first time that we attended an American church was really hard, because even though I could realize that it was a good message, I could not understand like 20% or 30%. And then when I saw my friends in that place, fit in these shoes, I was, oh, I know this.
I know how hard it is.
I know how they're feeling.
How they're feeling, yeah. Because you have the desire, the Holy Spirit touches you, but you don't get everything. It's hard.
And then I was just thinking how we can help that, how we can
serve
them.
Yeah. Yeah, so a while back, Gabe Forsythe, our pastor of mission, brought to the table, just from a mission perspective, to the elders, this idea that, man, there are a lot of Spanish-speaking people in this area, a lot of Portuguese-speaking people in this area, and asked the question, like, what is Mosaic's missional strategy towards reaching those people?
Yeah, and one day, we asked for Joe if it was possible to have a Brazilian Portuguese translation, because we knew that the Spanish was happening, and say, hey, if a Spanish translation happens, why not having Portuguese too?
When I came aboard to be part of Mosaic as the pastor of Mosaic Español Portuguese, we started looking for leadership in the Portuguese community. And immediately Carla and Dennis was introduced to me. They were introduced to me as leaders that were involved with the Portuguese community. So we started talking and we started to implement some of the strategies, if you will, in how can we grow, how can we impact the Portuguese communities.
I just like said, God, I don't know if I can do it. It's hard. I don't have the perfect English. I just have what I developed, and God just told me, hey, I don't call you to be perfect. I don't call you to give more than you have. So we are called to serve others. We are called to give you what we have. Yeah. He was perfect, you know?
Yeah, he's the only one that is perfect.
And when we can like translate the service, sometimes help them when they need prayer, when they need to connect with some pastor or someone here at the church. Like, doing that translations, I think that can, it's like you said, be a bridge for
making
them.
Making a way.
Make a way, yeah, until they can fully...
Do it by yourself.
Themselves.
And they do it for the others too.
Working with them to get them trained, working with our Spanish translation volunteers so that they could be trained up to translate as well. And then we needed to get the room ready. So our translation room was set up for Spanish. And so we needed to rethink that room and look at how could we have two translations happening simultaneously in the same room. And so our teams here were able to do that and get the room ready, and so we're able to now start offering Portuguese. And so it's been an awesome journey.
É interessante porque a Bíblia fala que Deus, ele é Deus de todas as línguas, de todas as tribos, de todas as nações. E quando eu vejo a gente sendo igreja em inglês, a gente sendo igreja em espanhol, a gente sendo igreja em português, eu posso ver UI. Eu posso ver nós, eu posso ver que nós somos a Igreja de Cristo. E não importa se a gente está fazendo igreja em inglês, se a gente está fazendo igreja em português, se a gente está fazendo igreja em espanhol, o nome dele está sendo elevado, o nome dele está sendo glorificado, e ele tá, as boas novas estão sendo compartilhadas, pessoas estão tendo acesso a um bom evangelho, e ele está construindo a igreja.
Pessoas estão sendo salvas, o evangelho está sendo pregado, independente da língua, independente da nacionalidade. E eu vejo muito Jesus nisso. Eu vejo Jesus construindo realmente aquilo que ele desenhou como igreja. Uma igreja que vence as barreiras de língua, vence as barreiras das dificuldades de comunicação e faz o evangelho crescer, faz o evangelho ir adiante, ir além.
E assim nós somos igreja.
E assim nós nos tornamos ainda mais igreja.
So it's crazy because before we were stirred as a leadership to start talking about the realities of reaching this community, Dennis and Carla were sitting in this little back nook re-preaching the entire message after the message in Portuguese to their friends for months and months. You heard when we reached out and they're presented to us as leaders in the Portuguese community. You think they knew that they were leaders in the Portuguese community? They were just here taking the little they had and said, we'll serve. And they did. And because they did, now God is doing far more than we could have imagined or asked for. This is what happens, because the truth is, whether we decided to start making translation a formality like we do now or not, guess what would still be happening in our back hallway? Translation. See, when we step up, it stops mattering that the church corporate has to do something for this to work. We start, we get engaged, we serve, we help, and someone is loved, and the gospel goes out. So, show up. Participate in the regular stuff. Bring what you have in your experience and serve in some way. Serve in some place, small or big. Bring what you have and grow in that. And then God says, he designed it this way. Oh, I'm gonna give you space to participate in this global cosmic reality in extraordinary ways to have you be a partaker in fruit you can't imagine. And he says, what I want you to do is I'm gonna give you resources. I'm going to provide resources for you. And I want you to take a portion of those resources before you just have leftovers. This idea is these resources are given to me first and foremost. Their greatest gift to me is not what they will provide for me. Their greatest gift to me is what they afford me to participate in and be a partaker of in the work of God. He gives you resources and then he says, all of you take a portion of your resources and bring them and share them with the local expression of the church, and then together take those resources and and share them with the global expression of the church and change the world by participating. And here's what's insane. And this is part of what Philippians and other places shows us. When I take a portion of my resources, my money, my stuff, and I bring it to God in the local expression of the church, what the scripture says is that at that juncture, the fruit I'm a partaker in is not just the fruit that is born out of this place this week with people being stirred up or born out of the people I get to serve. Suddenly, in an instant, I become a partaker in any of the fruit that comes out of anything this place collectively does here in our city or in our world. The second you and I participate with our resources at any level where we begin to say, God, I want to give a portion of what I have to this work, suddenly someone in Africa right now in Ethiopia, that's happening in their life, you're a partaker. I'm a partaker if we have shared our resources here. Suddenly, the church that's in Boston, today, we're a partaker. Suddenly, the people on that Indian reservation here in the U.S., we're a partaker. Suddenly, the people in Guatemala, we're a partaker. I could go on and on and on. The second we share our resources, God says, you are now partaker. It's extraordinary because the story of Scripture is, take your resources that can become the gravest danger in your life because you can believe that they are your safety net, they are your security, God is not, and give them first and foremost a portion of them to me. Do it regularly, do it sacrificially, do it boldly, and I will show you what I do. Not only does he say, you will be a partaker in all this fruit, but he then also says it will also protect your heart. Double win. So we show up. We share and serve what we have, and we become people that take our resources and regularly participate in sharing those with what God is doing. Then he says, when you go out of this place, please take your regular life, keep your eyes fixed on me, and live on mission. If you are a participant in the church, it is God's invitation to you and I to live on mission out. Why? When you live on mission in your workplace, when you live on mission in your neighborhood, when you live on mission in your city, when you serve the people around you, love them well, care for them well, show them the gospel, share the gospel with them, guess what happens? Not only does the kingdom of God expand, redemption is happening, you're a participant in it, but I am too. I am too. And when I do it, guess what? You are too. Every conversation I have, every hug I give, every love I give, every time I serve in my city or go on a missions trip somewhere around the world, every time you are with me and partakers in that fruit. And I would like to produce as much fruit for you to partake in as possible and as much fruit to glorify Jesus as possible. And it's thrilling that whenever you do, I get to share in it. Like at a certain point, you just have to sit back and go, I get to do what? Get out there, live on mission. That's what God says. And then finally, big one, giant one. He says this, it's so crazy. If you pray for anyone, anyone in this place, anyone in the world, if you pray, then you are a participant in the global reality of what God is doing. Just by literally stopping and taking time and praying, I am suddenly a participant in things beyond my wildest imagination. A partaker in fruit that I have no business touching. You pray for the people in Ethiopia or Guatemala or South Africa. You pray for the people on the Indian reservation or in Boston. You pray for the people in this room or the kids across the way or the students on Wednesday. You pray for each other and you are immediately a participant and partaker in fruit you couldn't produce if you tried. That's literally like God saying, you don't even need your hands on the box. You just say, God, would you mind carrying the box for that person? And you are part of carrying the box. Do you understand how insane that is? There's nothing else on the planet that works like this. Our entire world functions this way. If you don't do it, you don't share in the reward. And God says this, if you don't do it, but you're with me doing these things, I'm gonna have you be partakers in all of it. Just show up, serve and share, give regularly, live on mission, and pray. Wow. So, where do we start? If you're here and you're like, I want in, I want to participate. If you're here and you're that person, I'm gonna make it real easy for you. Now, if you're here and you're already participating, you are already regularly giving, you are already serving and sharing your stuff, you are showing up regularly, you're living on mission, and you are praying, let me just stop here and say this to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of the story. And I hope today and last week and the week before, you are inspired, encouraged, and more confident than ever that you are part of something that God is up to, and you are a partaker in more fruit than you can begin to imagine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Many of you already do that, and all of us thank each other because you are the recipient of other people's generosity, service, care, love, and everything else, right? If you are here and you're like, I don't participate in many of these ways, then how do you begin? Well, there's two super easy ones. I can't help you show up. I don't need to do anything to help you show up. Here's how show up works. Every time there's an opportunity to show up and you don't feel like it because it's too hard, make a different decision and come. You don't need my help. You don't need our help. You don't need means. It's not confusing. Just know that when you show up, you are deeply needed here. And when you don't, you are deeply missed here, even if you don't feel like anyone misses you, because God sure as heck does, because he made you to be here and deploy your personhood on our behalf for our maturity, for his glory. Show up. I need you here. I will show up. You need me here. That's an easy one. Pray. Now, we will help you guys with that as we are processing and thinking about how to equip you guys with easy means by which you pray, knowing what to pray for, where to pray, how to pray. Brady today began a process even with us to kind of say, let's learn to pray together. But it's not that difficult. Just start talking to God for others. Pray. You can do those two things. That's not that hard, right? Living on mission. We hear what we do. Every time we gather up is part of what's equipping you to live on mission. So that's just kind of ongoingly happening. Join a Bible study, be a part of the Sunday morning gathering, be a part of the things on our website everywhere. There's opportunities locally, globally to serve and just go live out the gospel. So showing up actually helps equip you for mission. Keep showing up. Now the two that are a little more complicated if you don't know where to start. The giving one. You might say, well, I've been here a couple weeks, couple months. I'd love to give, but apparently nothing ever happens here to help me give because we don't pass a plate or do anything. And I'm like, yep, that's about right. We do that because we never want giving to be an act of obligation or guilt from your part. The basket's coming. You're like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Oh no. And we never want that experience for you because giving is supposed to be an act of worship, always a trust of God. So we make giving intentional. So that you have to decide, I want to do this and participate. If you are here and you say, I really would love to participate, but I don't know how, it's super simple. In the back of your chairs, there's a little card sitting in the back of your chair. If you pull that card out, grab it and take it with you, it gives you the means by which you can participate in giving here. If you're already participating in giving, great, then you already know how to do that. The card might help you go, oh, I didn't know that was also a way. But for you guys that don't, this card will just help you simply say, here's how I can participate. God calls us to participate regularly, sacrificially, and joyfully out of cheerful heart because we know everything we've just talked about. If you want to be a participant in that and a partaker of that fruit, now you know how. That was easy. If you want to really serve here and you want to deploy your spiritual gift here and you want to deploy your gifts and talents here, but you don't know how, that's the challenging. Because this is a big church and you might think we've got everything together or you might not know where to get involved. So we want to facilitate that for you. Next week, we have the We Connect event happening. You'll hear more about it in just a few minutes at the end. It is chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and our covenant partner meeting. Thank you. Our covenant partner meeting all in one afternoon, all together. And the chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 in Covenant Partner Space is designed for a progressive journey for you to know who we are, to discover who you are, and to have us help you find your place and your part.
So if you say, I'd like to participate in serving and sharing, but I don't know where to start, a great starting point is come to a chapter one, a chapter two, a chapter three. Come and start the process. Next week would be ideal. If you can't make next week, we have chapter one, two, and three progressively, ongoingly, so you can join one. But next week, we all show up, we all get plugged in, and we all start the journey of saying, where can I serve? Where can I share my gifts? Where can I do this? What are my gifts? What do I bring to the table? The church, as God wrote her, prescribed her, made her, functions at her best when every one of us are showing up, serving and sharing with something, giving with something, going together on mission and praying for each other and for the world together. When we are doing that, as messy as that may be, because we're all involved. I mean, it's easier, isn't it? Just to leave us liabilities out of it, right? It is in that space that God shows the world what love is. His love toward us, our love toward him, and our love for each other. The church is the place where we don't get to be part of natural things like coming, sitting, singing, hearing, listening. Those are great, and they're part of it. But within them and our being here, we get to be part of supernatural things where he uses each of us to stir each of us up toward love and good deeds and to serve each other in a way that his cosmic sermon shouts to the universe, look at my people, look at my church. This requires power beyond compare, and the only one with that power is who?
Jesus.
And he is our king and we are his people. Welcome to church. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the many ways in which you gloriously have demonstrated to us by your life and shown us through your word that you are our rescue, that you are our redeemer, that you have made us alive, that you have given us hope and a future, and that you have saved us from death. God, that would have been more than enough. And that you then on top of that said, despite the fact that you are more liability than help to the mission, I am going to put your hands on this box and you're going to carry it with me because I love having you part of my story and I made you for it. God, that we are participants in redemption is ridiculous. God, help us not to miss out on that invitation by being so busy with life that we don't make central this reality of participating with you in redemption. And God, that you let us be partakers in the fruit of that participation is frankly mind-blowing, because it would have been enough that we are recipients of your grace, then participants in it, and then you get all the glory, all the fruit, all the partaking, and we are just thrilled that we got to do it with you. But instead you say, no, no, I will let you be partakers in this fruit. And God, that you then allow us to be partakers in fruit we don't even participate in by participating with one another is insane, and we are grateful. Make us a people who are unwilling to miss out on participating with you in every way we can and being partakers in fruit that you produce in any way we can. Help us to be a people who show up regularly, who find ways to serve and share what we have as people with others, who give of our resources regularly and sacrificially and joyfully, who participate on mission whenever we can out there in the world on behalf of your global and local church, and who pray for each other and for the world regularly so that we might all be the recipients of all of that from others by you and through you and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.